Well, hello. Good morning. Welcome to our first live morning service broadcast. This is as a result of our requirement to have social distance with regards to ourselves as we meet on a Sunday. And this will be the situation now for the foreseeable future, as we're trying to alleviate the effects, all of us together, of the COVID-19 pandemic. A couple of little announcements. Let me introduce myself. First of all, I'm John Williams. I'm speaking to you this morning from the home of Sam and Heather. And I want to express the fellowship's gratitude to them both for facilitating this opportunity. Now, some quick announcements. First of all, look out for information regarding our prayer meeting on Tuesday night. We're planning to set up a teleconference for our weekly prayer meeting this Tuesday, 7:30. This will allow our attendees to dial in from a landline or a mobile phone for the price of a local call, which are often included in monthly allowances. Using this facility, we will then be able to have an open time of prayer as we would when face to face. Further details about this are going to be sent out then to our regular attendees early next week. Also as well, if you'd still like to donate to Gosignan Food Bank, well, that's an important part of the work that we can seek to alleviate some folks' difficulties at this time. Well, then Bethel will be open on a Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock until 12, to receive your donations. And we let you know further if there's anything else to add to that. And also as well, a note to all of you who are joining this morning. I know we have our regular members. We have those who have been recently attending with us from Mums and Tots. We've also had confirmation of dear friends who now live in Cambridge. Across the river, as we say, and we understand they're looking in and with us here this morning. But for those living locally, then we'd like to say if you need food shopping, if you need collection of prescriptions, or if you could just do with a chat with someone, well then please contact us on our details via Facebook, and the church telephone number is there as well. Now, before we begin, we intend as well to stream a live morning service each Sunday morning for the foreseeable future, and we look forward to your company now this morning and also in the Sundays ahead. Now, we're going to begin reading just a few verses from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and the two themes I want to stress today, obviously it's Mother's Day as well, so we want to emphasize that. Plus as well, this idea of anxiety, we're all facing it. Plus as well, then, the remedy, which are the consolations of God. So we'll be looking at those two main points. So to set us off now then this morning, I'm just going to read these few verses that are found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, from verse 31. It's the words of the Lord Jesus, and he says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, these other things, will be added to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It's a good start now then, those verses to remind us this teaching of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to have a short prayer, and then I'd like to read a hymn to you. We're not able to sing this week. That might be something we can address in future occasions, but let's just commit ourselves now to the Lord this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a lovely sunny morning. We thank you for the privilege of worshipping you and being able to meet one with another. Lord, it's a different circumstance and situation for us, but we thank you for the technology. We thank you for the ability to be able to praise you in our homes, and ask, Lord, that you would draw near to us this morning and minister to us by your Holy Spirit through your truth, the word of God. Amen. Now, as we said, it's Mother and Sunday. So I've got a little story, boys and girls, if you are listening with Mum and Dad at the moment, and you might still be in your pyjamas, perhaps, with your slippers on. Well, that's okay. We'll be having a little story for you now later on. But I want to read the hymn, and watch out in the hymn. There's a reference to mothers in the hymn. There's also a reference then for the grown-ups when we'll be looking at the anxiety. It's called perplexities, so the being perplexed. That comes up in the hymn as well. And of course, we always worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the hymn reads, "Now thank we all our God, with hands and hearts and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with him in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore." Now then, boys and girls, if you're sitting on the sofa there or on the chair, just draw near a little bit now because you'll need to listen carefully. I'm going to share with you a little story. Now, normally when you come up the front, I can speak to you, name you all. It's lovely. But because we're going out now on this sort of wider scheme, I know your names, I know your faces, but I won't be mentioning you by name today. So first thing now, then let's, we normally start. Look, I'll give you a little fist bump now straight away, boys and girls, right? So there you go, bump. And for those of you who don't like fist bumps, well, we'll just do a high five. There we are. Okay, so we're all right. Now then, boys and girls, Mother's Day this morning. I'm hoping you've been up early, and I'm sure that there's going to be presents that are going to be passed on today. I'm sure there are flowers. I'm sure there are chocolates and cards. And I'm pretty sure I know one young girl. She's made a homemade cake for her mother. You know who you are. And perhaps we've bought a cake as well. Well, that's lovely. Now, there's a lovely verse I want to share with you. It's found at the end of the book of Proverbs. And it talks about a woman of noble character. And it talks about her husband. But one particular verse says this. It reads, "Her children, the children of this woman, her children arise and call her blessed." And I'm sure this morning we'll want to be thinking about our mums and giving them thanks. Now, we might not be able to hug them and kiss them as much as we normally do, because we're trying to be sensitive about what we need to do. But I'm sure, you know, we can sort of express our love to them very, very wonderfully today. Now, I bought something for you to see. It's a bag. It's a mum's bag. And I'll just show you that. Can you see? This bag was bought in Saundersfoot. And it's a mum's bag. It's a bit like a Mary Poppins bag, really. I'm sure if you've got a mum there with you, and you know in your mum's bag, oh, lots of things. If you've ever seen the film Mary Poppins, you know what I'm talking about. It's so many different things are kept in the bag. Well, now, I'm just going to have a little look inside the bag, and I'm just going to draw them out and show them to you and make some points about them. First thing a mum always has in her bag is a mirror. Obviously, it's there for her to make sure her hair is comb tidy and she's looking nice. But also as well, it can be helpful for us, because sometimes mum might use it to help us to see ourselves. Do you know, sometimes when we go out and we get a bit excited, and perhaps we're getting a little bit now more than excited, and mum will say something like this to us: "If you could only see yourself." And we know what she means. We're probably doing something or saying something that perhaps we wouldn't really should do. So a mirror can be quite helpful, because it reminds us of what we look like. It reminds us of the truth about ourselves, and it can correct us. You can put your hair tidy. You can perhaps make sure that your jumper's right or your shoes are looking in the right direction. Anyway, but also as well, a mirror puts things right, doesn't it? A mirror puts things right. And we'll come back to that in a moment, because we're always going to finish talking about the Bible, aren't we, boys and girls? And the Bible puts us right and shows us what we really are, but tells us as well how much God loves us. Now, that's the first thing out of the bag then. We've lifted up a mirror. Now, something else that's always, Mum's always got is this. Let me show you. See if you can guess what it's going to be. Here we go. Look. Little back box of tissues. Mum's always got a box of tissues, isn't she? One or two tissues. And they're usually clean tissues as well. And that's important. Well, what does Mum do with tissues? Well, wipes the tears. Sometimes it's wiping our nose, but often wiping our tears. You know, when we're sad. When perhaps we're upset about something. Well, you sit on Mum's lap, and what she does, she gets a little tissue out and she wipes your eyes for you. And again, it's especially good, you know, when we've done something wrong, we can sit on Mum's lap and say, "I'm sorry, Mum," and a little tear comes, and then it's wiped away, it's forgotten, and we can move on, and things are put right again. So maybe a tissue. Tissue's a good thing, very good thing indeed. Third thing, let's have a little look. Oh, yes, these are necessary. Mum's bag, plasters. Now, I don't know if you've got a plaster, if you've had a plaster recently. Well, again, these are the sorts of things Mum puts them on. She can reach into her bag. It's amazing what she's got in the bag to heal the cuts. And perhaps when we fall down in the playground, or perhaps out in the garden, straight away we scrape our legs, don't we? She's always got a little something to, a tissue perhaps again, just to wipe it, and then put a plaster on it. And of course, when we have these little falls and upsets, we learn from it. We learn perhaps not to try running and jumping off a swing, and we learn important lessons. There we are. Well, that's the sort of idea then, a plaster. Very helpful as well. Something else in Mum's bag. Now, also as well, these could have been used this morning if we'd all been in church, but they're not going to be used. They might be, but we don't need them this morning. Look, always in Mum's bag, some sweets, aren't there? Oh, little sweets. There was an old minister, I can remember him coming to Bethel, and he said a little, lovely little story about sweets, eating sweets in chapel. He said, "I've only got one word for people who eat sweets in chapel. Humbug." Well, sweets can be very, very helpful, can't they? When perhaps we need cheering up, or perhaps when we got a bit of a cough and we're starting to find a tickle there, Mum can reach into a bag, bring out a sweet. And then perhaps if it's a long wait, we're waiting in a queue somewhere and we get in a bit or fed up, Mum reaches in the bag, gives you a little sweet, and that carries you along a bit. When we need cheering up, isn't it? There we are. And again, things are put right again. Now then, whoa, this is good. Look at this. I've had to borrow this from someone. I promised to take it home as well and give it back to them. Oh, we all need some of this, a bit of this at the moment, don't we? Bit of hand sanitizer. I don't know what price these things are going for at the moment. Well, anyway, what do we use it for? Well, to keep your hands clean. Say now, before you eat the ice cream or before you have the sweet, well, you've got to clean. Make sure you're clean from germs before we eat, and also perhaps when we're having a treat as well. It keeps us safe. And Mum's got that in his bag. And again, things, it puts us right. And now then, those are the sort of things that we've mentioned. A mirror. We've mentioned tissues. We've mentioned plasters. And we've mentioned sweets, of course. And also the hand sanitizer. And then, of course, any mum who cares for you always got a little Bible as well, haven't they? And if not the Bible in the bag, they've got the stories they can tell you. Little story to relate to about something. When you feel sad, little story to help you there. Or perhaps when you've done something you shouldn't have done, little story to help you there. And it teaches us the truth. And the Bible as well puts us right. So we may learn the ways of God. And every mum wants to teach you the ways of God and to love the Lord Jesus and to trust in him and to believe in him. Now then, these are the little thoughts then we can have as we think of today I'm sure you're going to enjoy the day now and have a nice meal with mum and help perhaps with the washing up. Don't do what I did when I was a little boy, last story to tell you. I was determined I wouldn't bring my mum a cup of tea. I was going to bring her a pot of tea. And up the stairs I went with the tray, the big teapot and the cups, and of course spilt it all down the stairs. And my dear old mum had to get up, and we had to wash the stairs and deal with the carpet. So be careful whatever you're doing to the day. I'm sure you will be well, but don't do what I did. So have a lovely day. So now then, we're going to carry on with the service. And the next thing we want to do now is to have a little read some verses from the New Testament, from Philippians. Now, these verses, again, help us as we think about worrying and about being anxious. And we're going to come to pray now in a minute, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon those who are in need. But before we do so, we read these verses from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, Paul's words not to be anxious. Now then, we're coming then to a time of prayer. And it may be that you'll have opportunity quietly in a moment just to pray for those you are thinking about, situations that may be emerging in family life as well as locally as well. So we're going to just commit ourselves now then to the Lord for these few moments. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, gracious Lord, with hearts full of praise. You have brought us, Lord, in your providence to a new day and to a new week. And we are aware of your presence in our hearts and our homes and of your protection of us in our going out and in our coming in this last week. Lord, we are unable to meet together as is our usual custom, but we thank you for the technology that provides us the opportunity to meet together in this uncertain time. Lord, we begin by giving you thanks and praise for all the blessings of your common grace, for our food, for our home, for our health, and for all the blessings of also saving grace in the person and in the words and in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you reassure us of the forgiveness of our sins. We know, Lord, that when we confess our sins, whether they be things that we have said or done or thought, Lord, through the blood and merit of Jesus Christ, you pardon us. Lord, we're also aware of things that need to be said and things that need to be done and thoughts that we should have. And we would ask that you would help us, Lord, to accomplish these things by your grace and strength in the week ahead. We also thank you, Lord, for the adoption of so many into your large family and for the hope that we have even in times of danger and turmoil. We thank you, Lord, for the Saviour who not only lived and died, but who rose again triumphantly from the grave. Dear Holy Spirit, we also praise you and thank you that you dwell in each believer's hearts. At that very moment we believe eternal life begins. We thank you for shedding abroad the love of God in us, for pervading our inner beings with that sense of peace that we've just read about, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, may you be pleased to continue to guide us and lead us this week and to inspire us through the week in faith and hope and love. Lord, we pray for the preaching of your word today and think of others as well who will be attending meetings when it is going out as a streaming service. And we pray, Father, as well, remembering before you our families, who are unable to meet with us. Lord, we think of the effect of this virus upon Mother's Day celebrations today. And as we think, Lord, of so many mothers who are loved but cannot be reached, cannot be met, cannot be in company with today, we do pray, Lord, for them and ask that you would make up to them any sense of loss. Lord, we would also remember before you mothers who have been kind to us in days past. They've now gone on to that place of rest and glory. And we would pray, Father, that you might help us in a sense of reflection to give you thanks for your goodness. Heavenly Father, we're also praying for those who are key workers at this time, those who are working shifts in the hospitals, the nurses, the doctors, Lord, all the technicians there needed to continue to help people in their need. Lord, keep them safe and well, we pray. And Lord, for others as well who are involved in the other key services, whether it be in the distribution of food and the production of food, whether it be in those teachers who will be returning to school to care for children of key workers on Monday. We also, Lord, pray this morning for so many who might be isolated at home. Many, Lord, who are subject then to the loneliness and despair of solitude. Lord, we pray that it would be a time of reflection, a time of meditation, a time, Lord, when perhaps we would think, as we've read, upon things that are true, things that are noble, things that are right and pure and lovely. Lord, we pray for the witness of your people as they seek new avenues to express their faith in you. We think of so many, Lord, who are seeking to bring aid and help to those who are isolated at this time. Lord, for those who are presently ill, self-isolating or dealing with the death of a loved one, we commend them into your gracious care and keeping. We pray, Lord, for the countries of Europe as we hear of the number 5,000 deaths in Italy this morning. And Lord, we think then of the nations of the world, despite all the materialism that they are facing, this sense of mortality and frailty of that every other previous generation has faced. We commend now, Lord, into your care then those who are not affected so much as Europe, but will face certain death and loss eventually. We think, Lord, of many shanty towns in the continent of Africa. We think, Lord, there of the proximity of so many homes of one another and the less well-equipped health facilities. Lord, we pray then that in this time of pain, in this time when people's lives are on pause, that you would be pleased to bring to mind eternal matters. And may they, Lord, be those then who are seeking you and will find you when they seek for you with all their hearts. Continue with us now in this service, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to read another little hymn to you, which expresses our confidence in God. And then we're going to turn to a verse. I'm not going to expound a psalm, which is my normal practice, but we're just going to look at one verse in Psalm 94 and verse 19. That's our text for this morning. But before we do that, I want to read the words of a lovely hymn, and it reads, "Leave God to order all thy ways, and hope in him whate'er betide. Thou'lt find in him, in the evil days, thy all-sufficient strength and guide, who trusts in God, and changing love, builds on the rock that cannot move. Only thy restless heart keep still, and wait in cheerful hope, content, to take whate'er his gracious will, his all-discerning love hath sent. Nor doubt our inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own. Sing, pray, and swerve not from his ways, but do thine own part faithfully. Trust his rich promises of grace, so shall they be fulfilled in thee. God never yet forsook at need the soul that trusted him indeed." Now then, we're going to turn for a few moments to this verse then, we've said, in Psalm 94. I'll read you the verse to begin with, and we're looking at two main points this morning, anxiety and consolations. anxiety and consolations, the reality of anxiety and the remedy in consolations. So the verses around this particular text reads as this, unless the Lord had given me help, verse 17, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolations brought joy to my soul. That's our text then. When anxiety was great within me, your consolations brought joy to my soul. It's so unreal. It seems that I'm in the middle of a film. The streets are deserted. The shops are closed. And all the toilet rolls have disappeared. Yet it's not unreal. It's what is happening. And we are living in it and through it. The psalmist, we don't know who the psalmist was who wrote this psalm, he faced difficult times as well. And he was struggling to see a way through it all. Now, in the midst of this psalm, here's a real nugget of what you could call gospel gold. And it's found in this verse. It speaks directly into our situation this morning. It addresses the anxiety of the hour, as well as announces a way forward for anyone who is feeling overcome at this time. Two main thoughts here, as we've said. I'm sure you can identify them in the text, if you keep your finger on it. The reality of anxiety. And secondly, the remedy of consolation. So let's look at the two thoughts. The reality of anxiety. Now, some might think, you might be one this morning, who thinks that if you've got a faith, especially the faith in the God of the Bible, then you're living in a virtual world. World perhaps you've made up. You've got a name for yourself. You've got ideas how you think the world is run and controlled, but you're living in an unreal world, a pretend world. Well, what we're seeing here very clearly is that the psalmist had his feet very firmly grounded in the real world. The first part of this verse tells us that. He was living with the reality of anxiety. This verse, firstly, you notice, is a testimony. How do we know that? Well, there's a past tense here. Did you notice it? It says that we have a past tense here in the sense of this. When anxiety was great within me. So this is an experience that the psalmist has gone through, a period of time that he's passed through, exactly as we this morning are passing through this time of national concern and certainly uncertainty. It's economic uncertainty as well as with regards to our health and our futures. Now, the King James Bible, the old authorized version, reads about something about my thoughts rather than the word anxiety. My thoughts. Another translates it as my sorrows. And if we put those two threads together, my thoughts and my sorrows, we can then see how anxiety is an appropriate word this morning for us to consider here. The origins of this Hebrew word can be linked, interestingly, to the bough of a tree. Now, you could think of a trunk of a tree, and then you have the offshoots spreading out in all directions. Some become entangled in others. Now, it's a very instructive picture to us this morning. Perhaps you're someone facing the situation that we're looking at on a daily basis, looking at the news, listening to the reports, and you're trying now to be logical, you're trying to be rational, yet you start with one thought, it gets then mixed up with a second thought and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And then you get to a point where you can't really remember what you were trying to think about to begin with and what you were trying to solve in the very first place. Now, the New Testament word worry or anxiety is quite interesting because it has the idea of being stretched. It has the idea of even being choked And there are some folk then who are talking about this sense of feeling everything is whizzing around them and whirling around them. And so you can understand how people begin to hyperventilate, or their heartbeat increases, and there's a sense of panic that prevails. Well, these words, Hebrew and the New Testament word for worry, emphasize this point to us this morning. Now, notice also the number of these anxieties. The verse tells us very clearly, when anxieties was great within me. It's a sense of numerous, multiple, a crowd, an increasing number of anxieties. You can call one an agitation, if you like. You could call another a nagging question that's with you all the time. You can call a third a foreboding, concern about what's happening, going to happen in the future. But they're coming, it seems, into your home, into your heart, into your mind, into yourself, in company. Some, you see, are even uninvited. Now, we like to think that anyone coming into our home, we've invited them. In one sense, I'd like to think that you've invited us into your home this morning as you're sharing with us in this service. But these thoughts, these anxieties, these sorrows can come uninvited. And where is all this happening? Well, again, the text tells you clearly, if you look at it, when anxiety was great within me. Here we're talking now about the inner self. It's an interesting thought. This coronavirus can spread, we know, via our hands, via the droplets and the result of sneezes and coughs that people have. And if they come onto our hands and then perhaps we touch our eye, we touch our mouth, then it's possible for the virus to spread. And it goes into our throat. And not only that, but it begins as well to affect our lungs. But even if perhaps this morning we are, in one sense, the new word that everybody's quoting is asymptomatic. That is, that you're not showing any symptoms of this virus in your body at the moment. The implications of COVID-19, as it's now known, this pandemic, it's gone viral in our minds. You know the sort of thing you're experiencing. And you might be experiencing it this week. You're really trying to concentrate now on this short little service, but you're finding that there are thoughts coming into your mind. They're tapping the door. They're pushing their way in into your thoughts with regards to your own health. Are you in a risk group? Will you be receiving a letter from the health department, from the government this week, advising you that you're in these categories? If you do, what are you going to do about it? What will you do if you begin to have these symptoms? Where will you go? How will you manage? And if it's not about yourself, well, then it's the wider family. You're thinking perhaps of members of your family who are working in the NHS. They may be doctors, nurses. They may be those who are vitally important now in the next few weeks and months. And those then in jobs, perhaps also that have stopped for the time being. And obviously the implications are the rent. And the mortgage, and the payment of the utility bills, and the weekly shop. And then there's the thoughts, if you're a mother, a father, or a grandparents, there's the prospects of your children and grandchildren, those perhaps still in education. What impact will this have, especially those perhaps who are sitting important exams, and will they get the grades that they need to carry on? And then as we move out and further circle, we're thinking of the national situation. I heard quickly the news this morning, 233 families now already in grief in the United Kingdom, and many more predicted in the next couple of weeks. And then there's the long-term consequences of this virus in other countries like Italy, as we mentioned, a report of some 5,000 deaths there this morning. And what will happen as well if it spreads into other countries of the world? I mentioned in my prayer, Africa, among the shanty towns there, surrounded by large cities, with the overcrowding and the less well-equipped health provision that the UK has. And how long will this go on? And in one sense, what we have here is what one commentator called the soul's distemper, a tempest in the mind, all these things rolling around and causing us anxiety and concern. Now, we know the Lord Jesus addressed the issue in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 32. And interestingly, we've been going through Luke's gospel on a Sunday morning. And 2 weeks ago, we were in that actual passage. And we're not going to be able to prepare a service like this for this evening. But I would perhaps commend you. It's a little bit of a bit wrong, really, for a preacher to say, listen to my sermon. But the passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 22 to 32, which was preached 2 weeks ago on the 8th of March in the morning, might be of help to you if you've not already heard it. There the Lord Jesus spoke about not being anxious. He spoke of lessons from the fact that the Lord feeds the birds. Also, the flowers bloom in the field and they're only there for a few days, but they are provided for. And also as well how the Lord spoke of the flock, the people of God as his flock and as himself as the shepherd. And these were sort of helpful thoughts just to alleviate that sense of concern. And how Paul also wrote to the Philippians. We read the verses now, did we not? Not being anxious, but by bringing everything in prayer with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. So if this is the reality of your life this morning, consider with me now then. You can say, well, that's the reality. That I'm with the psalmist. I know the reality of anxiety. That's where I am. Well, now then, let's look secondly and briefly as well at the remedy. And the second part of the verse tells us clearly this, does it not? When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. The first thing we've got to note is the other word used for consolation. In the other translations of the Bible, you'd find the word comforts. The comforts, your comforts, bring and delight and bring gladness to my heart. Now, we've also got to say immediately, our minds, when we see and hear the word consolation, well, we're thinking of a consolation prize, aren't we? And that in our mind conjures up this idea of something that's second best. Something not so good, a poor substitute. Well, let's dismiss that thought completely. This consolation, this comfort, is worth having because the first point we have to make here is this. Whose consolation is it? Well, the text tells us, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation. And that's a clear reference now then to the Lord. You look through this psalm, you'll notice the word Lord in capital letters. That tells you it's the word Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God of promise. And it's this Lord then, this Lord of glory, this Lord of strength, this Lord of grace, who is providing then for his people a consolation from himself. Not something outside of himself, not something away from himself, not something that he conjures up to give you. It's from himself. Are your consolations. They are the comforts that come directly from the Lord. Now, what are these consolations? We need to ask ourselves something about that this morning. Look back for a moment. We said we're not doing an exposition of the whole psalm, but certainly verse 14 points us in the right direction. Verse 14, there you have reference to the Lord in capital letters. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Now, can you see, in one sense, the consolation and the comforts are the promises. These are what we're looking to now then at this time of real anxiety. And this is something that we can do. It is the promise God has made to never leave us nor to forsake us. We read of that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's the eternal love of an eternal God. And you see, as we're approaching Easter, and we'll be hoping to continue with our services over the Easter time, again, this year we'll be bringing our services to you. The consolations of grace are not cancelled. They're not postponed because of the situation that we're in at the moment. Yes, we're at pause. We're having to reflect. We're having to think carefully about things. But the consolations of the Easter message, they're as alive and as vibrant as ever they've been. There's a complete, we know, a complete atonement for sin. We've asked in our prayer, Lord, forgive us the sins that we've done. sins that could be judged, sins that could bring us into harm's way with regards to the righteousness and holiness of God. Well, we know the consolation of the gospel is simply this. The Lord Jesus was born, lived a perfect life on our behalf, died upon the cross in the place of Barabbas, certainly, but also in the place of sinners. And a complete atonement is made. The cry of the Saviour, it is finished. It's completed. It's put away. And then also, we know of the consolation of a risen Saviour. The third day, rising triumphant. Victory over sin, death and hell. And the promise we also have, the consolation of the fact that he's coming again. That would have been a passage I would have been dealing with if we'd still been in Luke chapter 12 this morning. Being watchful, waiting for the Lord's appearance. It's a true sign and a mark of a true believer. Now then, also, let me move on. Look at where it is brought, this consolation. The verse again tells us clearly, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. And can you see in one sense how the first part with the anxiety and where it resides is dealt with these consolations in this second part. It's the same place we read within me and my soul. It's a way that in a psalm you would have this parallel sort of talk about the same subject. The answer to the first part, my soul, answers to the second part, answers to the first part, within me. So that's where the consolation comes. It comes within us. And then as it comes within us, it has its effect upon us physically and emotionally and socially as well. Now, one of the paraphrases translates it like this. It's a paraphrase, not a translation. I'll read it out to you, and then it might sound good to begin with, but in one sense, I'll show you now how it lacks the important point that needs to be made here with regards to exactly what exactly is happening here. We would need to ask ourselves what it brings. It brings, we read in our text, it brings joy. But here's the paraphrase, and it begins well. It says this, when I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and cheered me up. Well, it's a lovely little phrase, and I think there's something in it to grab hold of. So when I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and cheered me up. Right. But when you look at this word here, joy, this joy delights our hearts. This is what the psalmist is saying here. These consolations, these promises, they bring joy. Now, what we're having to point out here then is this, is that the promises of the Saviour come as a result of his rescuing us from our sin. We would say it would be enough to say that these consolations satisfy us. You know, like you can have a good meal. You might not have the normal meal that you'd have for a Mother's Day today. You might not be out having the three course with the cake and everything. But you'll have a meal today. It'll satisfy you, but you sort of feel it falls short. Well, that's not what this verse is telling us. It's not that it satisfies. It more than satisfies. It tells us that we'd have said we'd have been happy if these consolations just quieted us, just calmed us, just pacified us. Well, that again, something in it, as we've said for that paraphrase. But what it tells us is this, that this joy brings delight to our hearts, to our souls. It brings a sense of gladness. It brings a sense of life, brings a sense of purpose. It brings a sense of energy to be able to continue. And the difference, you see, is between now then earthly pleasures and promises and heavenly promises and heavenly words that are spoken to us in this text. There was an old Puritan writer, Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson said, this is the difference between heavenly and earthly comforts. You see, there are some folk, well, what are they doing? They're finding comfort today in perhaps stockpiling pasta. Their back bedroom is full of toilet paper. And they're going to get some sort of consolation out of that. But it's going to be temporary. You see, these earthly consolations, these earthly comforts, don't last. Thomas Watson said this is the difference between heavenly and earthly comforts. It's between a banquet that is eaten and one that is painted on the wall. Can you see the difference? That's reality. One that is a banquet that you can feast at. You come to the Lord's table, you come to his word, you read the scriptures. We'll meet for prayer on Tuesday night, and we'll be looking at the promises of God and pleading the promises of God and encouraging one another with the promises of God to see us through this, and to pray that others as well who perhaps have anxieties will come through to this place of comfort and strength. The promise of the Saviour's coming is in his rescue, of his coming to us to take away our sins, his pardoning of our guilt, and his bringing us into his family, the assurance of being with him forever, come what may. Well, I want to finish this morning with a little illustration from Pilgrim's Progress, written, you remember, by John Bunyan. And this might be of help to you as we face the rest of the week. We know that Pilgrim made his way to the house of the interpreter. And the interpreter showed him a number of different things. And the fourth picture, the fourth illustration that the interpreter gave to Pilgrim was of a fire burning against a wall. One man was throwing water and seeking to put the fire out. Yet as Christian looked at it, he seemed to see that the fire was actually burning brighter, burning higher than before. When asked what does it mean, interpreter said, well, the fire is the work of grace in a human heart. And the one, obviously, who is casting water on it to increase our anxieties and our worries and our troubles and to bring us to a place of doubt or even to unbelief, well, we know he's the adversary. That's been his very plan and purpose since he fell with the angels. But the reason for the continuing flame, we are told, is behind the wall, not what is in front of the wall. Oh, there, we're seeing this individual. He's throwing water, trying to put the fire out. But the reason for the flame is behind the wall. That's the secret. The man behind the wall, then the interpreter takes Christian behind the wall, and there he sees another man, someone else, continually pouring from a vessel of oil, pouring it upon the fire. It's a secret work, certainly, but onto the fire, and the fire continues to burn brightly. And again, when asked, what does this mean? The interpreter says, well, this is Christ. This is the Saviour. This is the Redeemer. This is the Lord of glory, who, with the oil of grace, is continually maintaining the work already begun in the hearts of believers. And so in times of trial, in times of darkness, in times of anxiety, we must always remember to look behind the wall. Base ourselves upon the consolations of the promise of God's word. And interestingly enough, when later Pilgrim comes to another house, the House Beautiful, and he's asked to give testimony about what he'd learnt when he'd been in the house of the interpreter, the first illustration that Christian Pilgrim gives is this fourth illustration that he actually received at the house of the interpreter. And it's the consolation, really, of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That he then, as Paul wrote to Timothy, he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. So there we've had the two simple thoughts this morning about the reality of anxiety. We live in the real world. But also the remedy of consolation. We base our lives upon the promises of God's word, and we plead those promises, and then we experience those promises in our life. And it may be that this has been of help to you this morning. Maybe that you'll be able to encourage someone else who might have these thoughts swirling around in their minds. And maybe that the Lord will keep us safe until we return again next week and join together. Now then, I'm just going to conclude in prayer. Can ask the Lord's blessing upon us now, and pray then that we will perhaps be in contact with each other by phone, texting during the week. Been so pleased to see so many availing themselves of this and the encouragements that it's been to so many. And I know I'm pleased this morning to say that there are folk who've been able to join us with this service this morning who haven't been able to come up the physical steps of Bethel for a number of months. But they're part of the service with us this morning, and it's a special privilege to have you with us, sharing with us. And wherever you are then, whether you're locally, whether you're further afield, maybe anywhere, we pray God's blessing upon you. Let's close as we read together now that wonderful promise from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us.